Matthew chapter 28, starting with verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." May God add his blessing to the reading and preaching of his word.
What a great Sunday this morning, celebrating a baptism. Wasn't that awesome to see someone come to Christ through our ministry? Isn't that great? Praise God. So my name is David. I'm the lead pastor here at Eastside. If I don't know you, would love to get to know you. I'm married, and my wife and I have two kids. And one of our kids went from age 6 to 7 this past week. So all week as a family, we've been saying 6-7. 6-7. Have you seen that? 6-7. Who knows what I'm talking about? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't know what I'm talking about right now, you are, some people would say, irrelevant to our cultural moment in America. That's a little bit too strong. Rather, you probably don't have kids or grandkids. You're not around kids a lot. But sometime in 2025, in the fall, the word 6-7 became the most popular word used in the United States of America. What does it mean? It doesn't really mean anything. It's a nonsensical term that started from a rap song that led to kids all over America all week long, every day for 3 months saying 6-7. I know this because I have two kids, and every day they came home and kept saying it, and there was no meaning behind it. In fact, dictionary.com named 6-7 the word of the year in America. So what does that tell you about where we're going? I don't know. No, that's not a political statement. 6-7 was the word of the year in America, and nobody even knows what it means. It's a silly, nonsensical thing. And I had a lot of fun with my son doing 6-7 all week long. But did you know that not only a word of the year, but every organization or business or nonprofit or military unit that's serious about success has a mission statement or a sentence that describes what they're all about? At Publix, they say, "Where shopping is a pleasure." At Great Wolf Lodge, they say, "Bring joy to families." A Mayo Clinic here in Jacksonville, "Inspiring hope and promoting health through integrated clinical practice, education, and research." And the reason why a mission statement is so important is it because it tells your employees and volunteers, this is what we're supposed to be doing. So nobody guesses why we exist. But even more, it helps you determine whether or not you're successful or not successful. Because in business or in entrepreneurship or in nonprofit or in the church, we can't just use subjective whims and say, "I feel this," or "this is my sense, this is my intuition." Rather, the way that we measure whether or not we're fulfilling our duty as a church is to look at our mission statement and ask, are we really living it out? Has this just become a slogan or a phrase or something to put on our website, or are we serious about it? At Eastside Community Church, and today we're doing an entire sermon about our mission statement at Eastside, hopefully to launch us for a fruitful year in 2026. And if this is your first time here, or you've been here a couple times, and you're wondering, as I have this cold, you're wondering, is this the church for me? I hope today will help you to say, you know what? I'm going to go all in with these people. Because we exist, here's our mission statement: inviting all to know Christ and to make him known. Inviting all to know Christ and to make him known. We are not a club. We are not a business. We're not just a regular nonprofit. We're not even just another family. We are not here to talk about politics all the time or the latest current event. We're not here to try to get positions to make ourselves feel powerful. We are here because we are a group of redeemed sinners saved by Jesus Christ who exist in this church to glorify God by making and maturing disciples of Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to be all about going forward. Inviting all means evangelism. That means sharing the gospel with an unbeliever with the hopes of them turning from sin and trusting in Christ. We can't say just be faithful or God is sovereign. Those two things are true. But rather, when people use spiritual language, they're trying to alleviate themselves from the duty and privilege of actually doing the work of an evangelist, as the Apostle Paul says. So we don't measure whether or not we're inviting all based on an intuition or sense. Rather, we ask, how many evangelistic conversations have I had this past month? If Jesus answered every single one of your prayers that you prayed in the last month, how many new people would be in the kingdom of God? For too many people, our prayer requests are only health or something that we saw in the news. Both things are great, but we should also be praying, Jesus, please save people. We have group text messages with community group leaders. There's prayer chains. We talk about prayer requests. I would love us to say, hey, I'm going to hang out with an unbeliever. Pray that God gives me an opportunity to share the gospel. Hey, pray for my dad to come to Christ. Pray for my sister to come to Christ. Hey, pray that God would surround me with more unbelievers so that I could share the gospel and be a faithful witness. Not just stuff about health in the news. Those things are great. Let's pray for them. But let's also be praying about Jesus saving people. We exist to invite all evangelism to know Christ. That means discipleship or growth and spiritual maturity. We don't want to turn church growth into an idol. When church growth becomes an idol, you're just a bunch of people to be mobilized, not a bunch of people to be shepherded. Right? We don't just want to mobilize you. We want to shepherd you and love on you and help you grow in Jesus. So I look back in the past 5 years. Am I growing in Jesus? Am I growing in the fruit of the Spirit? Do I not just know things about God, but do I know God and love God and worship God more and love Him more because of the work of Eastside Community Church? We exist to make Him known, inviting all to know Christ and to make Him known. That's the part which we raise up other leaders. We help those who are growing in Jesus and equip them to make a greater impact for Jesus. You don't need a title. You just need to have a willing heart and a growth in Christ and a desire to make an impact. And so by the grace of God, we don't just want to be a church, but we want to be a church planting church. We don't just want to have people in a room and get all these meaty sermons and good music and be lovey-dovey. We want to send you out and send resources and send money and send people. We want to be a sending church. We are not in competition with other churches in town that are preaching the gospel. We're actually teammates and co-laborers in Christ. And so we want to bless them so that we can make a greater impact in Jacksonville and beyond. And so if your heart is being stirred about inviting all to know Christ and make Him known, and you are new here, I want to encourage you to stick around and help us fulfill our mission. Last week as a church, we spent 5 days praying and fasting. And I was just blessed beyond measure to hear the stories of God's faithfulness to us. I was so thankful and blessed by it that it was so encouraging. And people were texting and saying various things about prayer and fasting. Thank you, sir. And it was a wonderful time. I felt so humbled by the prospect that we did that. It was hard. Some of you did way better than I did. But the reason why we started out with 5 days of prayer and fasting is because we're saying to Jesus, as a church, as a community, God, we don't got this. We're not doing ministry on our own strength. We're not relying on the talent of one person or two people. We're not relying on the funds in the bank. We're not relying on our beautiful facility. We are relying on You. Our strength, our power, our might is going to come from You. And when we fast and pray for the right reasons, as hard as it is, what we're saying to God is we want to increase our dependence on You. Because this year, I hope to be a defining moment in our church where we grow in greater effectiveness to invite all to know Christ and to make him known. So just to let you know, me personally, I am not a career-driven pastor. Like, I don't really have a resume. I'm not a professional. I'm not doing this for 3 to 5 years here as a stepping stone to do another church in 3 to 5 years. And then maybe one day when I'm in my 50s, then I'll be a mega church pastor. What is that? I don't think like that at all. I have no interest to church hop or to use this as a stepping stone. I do not get a buzz by being seen or known in community. I don't struggle with the low self-esteem thing, and I need to have a position to feel affirmed by humans. I certainly want to walk in fear and trembling of God, but I am here to serve you, not get anything out of you. Rather, my heart and my desire is to glorify God by being a leader in the church who helps us invite all to know Christ and to make him known. This is not about a career, a profession. This is not about building a platform. This is not about building a resume. It's all about this moment in this city with our church being committed ruthlessly to seeing souls come to Christ, grow in Christ, and sent for Christ. So as opposed to going through James verse by verse, we're pausing today. We're going to look at the Great Commission, but not just the Great Commission. It won't be verse by verse like we usually do. We're going to just take a little bit of break from that and just look at just general themes about what the Bible says about our mission. Why are we here? Why do we exist? Why are we doing this? Why did you get up on a Sunday morning to be here? What drives us as a church? I hope and pray what drives us is to invite all to know Christ and to make him known. So if you've got that Bible open with you, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Here are the words of God. And Jesus came and said to them, that is the disciples on the mountain, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Verse 19, now here's the command. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Let's break this down into three parts for our mission. One, we exist to invite unbelievers to become believers. Evangelism, winning the lost, seeing unbelievers get saved. Only Jesus Christ can save a soul. You understand that? You do not have the power to save someone. And the burden is not on you. I used to feel so guilty going home from college to my unbelieving family members. And if they all didn't get saved, I went back feeling like I failed going back to college. It took me a while to realize that there's only one Savior, and I'm not him. You're not the Savior. But for a lot of Christians, they relieve themselves now and say, well, God is sovereign, and then completely eliminate or alleviate the duty, the privilege, the joy of watering and planting and allowing God to bring the growth. God is sovereign, man is responsible, and the Bible never pits the two against one another. It never does. So evangelism is not sharing your testimony, as helpful as that could be. There's power in the gospel. There's not always power in our testimony. The word of God will not return void, but sometimes our testimony does. And Jesus says here in verse 19, go therefore and make disciples. The only imperative here in this passage is make disciples of Jesus. A disciple of Jesus is someone who follows Jesus. It means learner. It means someone who's turned from their sin and trusted in Christ as Savior and Lord, and now he or she wants to spend the rest of his or her life following and obeying him. Evangelism is sharing the gospel with the hope of encouraging the unbeliever to turn from Christ, to turn to sin, and trust in Christ. We share the gospel, the good news, the understanding that God, the God of the Bible, has no beginning. And he has no ending. And he created a perfect world. And he made Adam and Eve. And in the beginning, there was no sin. And they enjoyed perfect fellowship with God. But you get to the third chapter of the Bible, and Adam and Eve rebelled. They didn't just fall. They rebelled against God and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as a result, sin entered the world. And now everybody born after Adam and Eve, except for one person, Jesus, everybody born after Adam and Eve is now a sinner by nature and by your choices, by the good stuff you're supposed to be doing that you don't, and all the bad stuff that you do. The Bible teaches that God is holy, He's good, He's separate, and as a result of our sin and my sin, deservedly, we deserve God's wrath and eternal condemnation. But God, being gracious, sent His one and only Son on a rescue mission to live the perfect life, die on the cross, and rise from the dead 3 days later. And if anyone turns from sin and trusts in Jesus, they no longer have to experience God's wrath, but now have all of their sins forgiven, past, present, and future, and the righteousness of Christ is given to them, and they now have a place in God's forever family. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Now, that's a mouthful, the way I just said it. And believe it or not, a lot of that was off the top of my head. I'm looking at my notes here, but I crossed out some lines here, so I'm like, hey, what did I write there? You don't have to go through all of that. You really don't. And I know this, a lot of you are thinking this, I don't have the gift of evangelism. I get nervous when talking to people. I get discouraged. I don't know what to say. I feel guilty. Here's what I've learned. God, there's only one thing that God cannot use, and that's inactivity. The only thing God cannot use is your inactivity. Are you nervous? God can use you. Are you shy? God can use you. Are you going to mess up the words? God's going to use you. Do you have a roommate that you're trying to share the gospel with, and then you sinned and messed up, and you're like, oh no, I'm a hypocrite? God can still use you. The only thing God cannot use is someone who is committed to a life of inactivity in this area. Just say something. Come to church. Curious, what do you believe about God? Here's the Bible. Hey, I've known you for a while. I want to ask you this question. Feel free not to answer. You believe in Jesus? Hey, you want to come to church with me? We're having Easter service. We are all natural evangelists for things that we love. You don't have to get me to talk about the Jaguars. I just love talking about the Jaguars. You don't have to get me talking about health and fitness stuff. I just like talking about it. I like talking about Wall Street Journal and stock market, some of those things, right? We are all natural evangelists for the things that we love. So the remedy here is not, let me give you a bunch of techniques to help you be a better evangelist. Rather, the remedy is always this: delight yourself in the Lord. Spend regular, unhurried time with Jesus. Fill your bucket with sermons and podcasts and books and God's people that you're so overflowing that you cannot help but share what God has done in your life. More importantly, sharing the gospel. In the book of Acts, when they got together, you know what they prayed for? Boldness to share the gospel and that the word would go out. I'm so thankful for every health request that we get. I would say 90% of the prayer requests I hear are health related. And you know what? That's a good thing. In fact, in a couple of weeks, by God's grace alone, we're going to be looking at James chapter 5. And there's a section there on praying for those who are sick. We're going to have some of you come down and literally pray for you right here. Anointing the sick, praying for the sick, visiting the sick. We always want to hear from you. Always. You are never a burden. But in addition to these kinds of requests, where are the people that are saying, God, give me more boldness to share the gospel? Where are those of us saying, I want more opportunities to share Jesus? Where are those prayer requests coming in? We need to start praying more and more by God's grace as a church for boldness to share the gospel. That's exactly what they did in the early church. I used to work at IHOP in high school, a restaurant. And I had a football friend in college as well, and both guys were very lost. And at IHOP, I worked with a guy who was a rapper. He was a musician. And the guy on the football team was really lost. And so everything I just said about the gospel from Genesis to Revelation, I never went through any of that with them. Instead, I got him a Bible with their name on it, NIV, and just gave it to him and said, here, man, you might want to read this at some point in your life. And the rapper guy, and I was in high school, he's like in college, and he was rapping and saying all these things that, you know, and worldly things in his songs. And then 10 years later, He sends me a Facebook message and says, "Hey, David, remember me from IHOP? I read that Bible and Jesus saved me while reading it. I now rap for Jesus. Let me show you my music." And he's talking about Jesus and Lord and Jesus coming out, all this great stuff. All I did was give him a Bible. It took me 10 seconds. What in the world is so hard about that? This is what we do. As Americans, 21st century, get on TikTok or Instagram, use the microwave, takes 20 seconds to heat something. You are so accustomed to seeing results right away that if you don't see it right away, you just give up. It's not your prerogative to know God's business about who he's going to save and when and where and why. Your job is just to be faithful and to plant and water day in and day out. That football player, he messaged me on Facebook 5-10 years later, same exact thing. "Hey, thank you for giving me that Bible. I'm learning more about Jesus, starting to go to church." It took me 10 seconds to give him a Bible. That's all that I did. I'm not that great of an evangelist. I'm really not. But the Apostle Paul says, do the work of an evangelist. It takes work. And the keys are to delight yourself in the Lord. We are natural evangelists for what we love, to live out our faith, and for at some point, just say something, anything, even if you get it wrong. Just put yourself out there and go from there. Here's what I know. I know that for everyone in this room who is a Christian, you have at least one person in your life who doesn't know Christ as Savior. And what I want to do this morning, and hopefully we'll start using this language all throughout our church and every day from this point, is I want to use this language that we're calling one more. This is not original to me. I'm focused on being faithful, not original. Who is your one more? Not three more, not seven more, not 15 more, one more. Who is the one person in your life who doesn't know Jesus as Savior and Lord, who from this day forward, you're going to start praying for his or her salvation every day and seek to share the gospel with him or her? Who is one person? If we said five more or 10 more or 15, all of us would be overwhelmed. But all of us can think of one person. Is it my mom? Is it my dad? Is it my roommate? Is it a colleague? Is it someone at the gym? They are not a ministry project. Do not look at people. They're not projects. Just love on them. When you talk about Jesus, talk the normal way that you talk. Just be yourself, right? And it doesn't have to happen every day. It doesn't have to happen right away, rather. But everyone in this room who's a follower of Jesus should have one person, you're one more, who you're constantly praying, Jesus, save them. And then at Easter and Christmas Eve and other outreach events that we have here, I encourage you to invite your one more to church. Invite them to read the Bible. Invite them into a personal relationship with Jesus. We're stepping into a new season at Eastside. We're moving toward greater faithfulness. We're deepening how we live our mission. We're growing into what God has called us to be. And one of the main ways that we're going to be more effective as a church is just those of us who are members and regular attenders focusing on our one more. Who can I share the gospel with? Who can I buy a Bible for? Who can I invite to church? Who is your one more? We exist to invite all to know Christ and to make him known. The very first word in our mission statement is inviting. Inviting. Are we, when people get here, we're really warm and inviting. But the problem is throughout the week, we're not inviting people. We're just relying on our website and Google and social media and just random requests. We need to be a culture of inviting those to come because we have tasted the goodness of God. We have peace and joy with Christ. We have eternal security. We have the love of God. How can we not desire to want to see other people come to know and get in on this best news ever of the gospel of Jesus Christ? So this is an area that we struggle with as a church. It's not our strongest suit. If you're new here and you're listening and you feel like you can help us, I invite you to stick around. This is an area that we need to grow in, starting with me. I need to get better at inviting all to know Christ. We not only exist for evangelism, we also exist for discipleship. That's the middle part of our mission statement. We exist to invite all to know Christ. To know Christ means discipleship. We don't just want to become the kind of church that's always talking about outreach, because if we do that, then numbers can become an idol, and then things can become shallow in the name of reaching more people. And that those of you who are in Christ, you want to be fed and led. And let me tell you, we're not going to neglect depth and breadth for the sake of chasing numbers or fame or popularity in town. We're going to be very committed to our one more in evangelism, but we will never forsake the middle part of our mission statement, which is to know Christ. In John chapter 17, verse 3, Jesus says this, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Often we think about eternal life as in heaven. And Jesus says here, eternal life is knowing God. It's not just knowing things about God, but knowing him in a real way, a saving way, an intimate, real way, that you not just know things about God, but you love him, you worship him, you obey him, you hunger for the word, you hunger for theology, you hunger for the knowledge of God because you want to know him more. We exist to know Christ. We don't want to become shallow. I don't use that word in an arrogant kind of way. We always want to be deep in our teaching and preaching and our ministry. And there's all kinds of knowledge that you should get in life. As we say, to know Christ. Financial knowledge and investing and saving is crucially important. So is health and fitness. So is knowing how to deal with people. There's all kinds of knowledge that you can know in the real world. But there is no knowledge that's more important than the knowledge of God. We exist to know Christ. I was at a conference with a really popular pastor, and he was standing here to a bunch of leaders, and he literally said, "I don't know one theologian that says the Great Commission means to do more teaching." In front of a room of like 1,000 church leaders. And I'm like, dude, the very next verse in the Great Commission literally says we should be teaching. It says it in verse 20. "Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you." And so I'm sitting there like, does anybody else notice this? Like when church growth becomes an idol, that's how people start talking. It's all about the unbeliever. Everything is all about winning people. Everything is all about seeing the numbers go up and to the right. And believe us, we want to see more lives changed by the gospel. But we don't just want to invite all to know Christ. We want to see people grow in Christ. We want to see them know Jesus. That's why we do teaching. In his commentary on France, on Matthew rather, R.T. France says it this way. "To make disciples is not complete unless it leads them to a life of observing Jesus' commandments." There's a debate in the church world. Is the worship service on Sunday morning for the believer or the unbeliever? And the answer is neither. It's first and foremost for God. We exist to worship God, to please God, to know God. And as we live authentically our Christian faith, through teaching and preaching and music and community groups and loving one another, those in Christ will grow, and those on the outside will come into the kingdom of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. The worship service, first and foremost, exists not for the believer or the unbeliever, but first for God and his glory and his name. And as long as we're glorifying and worshiping him in the ways that he commands in Scripture, we can trust unbelievers will come to Christ and believers will grow in Christ. This is probably our strongest area as a church, and I'm thankful for the pastors before me and elders and others and volunteers that have been laboring in this area. So I thank all of you who have been here for years before I got here. We've done really well at this. But we want to continue to grow in this area. And one of the ways that you can do that is by joining a community group. We have 5 going on. Some meet right after church here. We got some in homes. If you go to eccjax.org, I encourage you to consider becoming a member or a regular attender of a community group. And that the Christian life is not meant to be alone or lived alone, but rather with a group of God's people. That's one of the ways that we're going to see discipleship happen at Eastside as we know Christ. We exist to invite unbelievers to know Jesus, to help believers grow in Jesus, but also the final part of our mission statement is to make Jesus known. to make Christ known. In the book of Matthew, earlier in Matthew, Jesus said to his disciples, Matthew 9, 35 through 38, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." To make Christ known means ministry and service. It means using the spiritual gifts that God has given you to build up the kingdom of God. It means not just being a consumer of sermons and music and the community of God, but at some point when you're ready, no pressure, no rush, at some point when you're ready, that you would consider, how can I use the resources that God has given me to build up the church? The question I have for us this morning is, where are the future church planters in this room at our church? Or the future missionaries? Or what businesses are we going to start as a church? Or what nonprofits can we start or align with? Which other churches can we partner with to do ministry? How much money are we sending and how many people are we sending to make Christ known in Jacksonville and beyond? At Eastside, we partnered with a new church plant in Omaha, Nebraska, that's literally about to start in a couple of weeks, their first Sunday ever. And for years, I've gotten requests about these things. I've said no to a lot of people, but I really believed in these two guys who I've known for a long time. And their church is called Harbor Church. And they're starting on the Sunday before the Super Bowl Sunday. And we've gave them a generous one-time gift, and they have used it for their children's ministry. And they are planning on having over 200 adults and 70 children at their very first worship service, based on the evangelism and impact they've already been doing. That means as a church, 70 kids in Omaha are going to hear about the gospel that you have never met and likely will never met because of our generosity, because we're making Christ known, that we're not just a club trying to hoard resources and hoard people and be the biggest kingdom in Jacksonville, but rather we want to be a sending church where we send money and send people and send resources. And right now, we're really not ready to plant a church because we don't have the personnel. We don't have the people, but by God's grace, I'm hoping that over the years that God would send more people who feel compelled to plant churches and be sent out and to do more kingdom impact. In the book of Acts, it says, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the writer of Acts, Luke, he says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and Judea, and Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth." Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, all the ends of the earth. That's like saying Jacksonville, Florida, America, the nations. We don't go to the nations right away. We do, but we start with our very own city. And then we branch out to Florida. And then we branch out to America. And then we branch out to the nations as well. And everything in me is screaming and knows this, that you do not need to be a professional and you do not need to have a title to make a difference in the kingdom of God. In fact, one of the obligations of elders is to equip the saints for ministry. And what I don't want to do is be too bureaucratic, right? So I think too many times at Eastside I'm hearing a title being given out. Oh, we got to give so-and-so a title first before they can start doing anything. Or this needs to be done. We don't have a group of so-and-so. We need to start giving titles out so it can be done. And there's probably some wisdom in that. But there's even greater wisdom in saying, guys, we don't need to be giving out titles. All we need to do is encourage regular volunteers and regular Christians to say, get in the game. Get in the game. So I ask you, and I put it up on you, what, by the grace of God, if this is your season, there's sometimes a season to say no. I get that. If this is your season, by the grace of God, how are you using your spiritual gifts and time and resources to help make Christ known in our church, in our city, and beyond? What are you doing to make an impact for Christ? Are you just consuming or are you producing? I fear sometimes that people come to Eastside and they like the sermons and the music and the people, but because our church is not overflowing with hundreds and hundreds of people, they don't come back because they don't, subconsciously, they feel like, well, I'm going to be known there and I don't want to be known. Or I might be held accountable and I don't want to be held accountable. I might be asked to do something and I don't want to do anything. I just want to receive a little Jesus, some good sermons, maybe once or twice a month. Listen to good worship music, maybe give some money, and then be gone. I don't want anyone speaking into my life. And subconsciously, one of the reasons why people don't come back is because of that reason. They feel that, and then in their discipleship, they never quite really grow. And so let me just encourage you, if you're new here, then I just want to encourage you to just resist that thinking. If you want to go to a different church, please do that, as long as it preaches the gospel. Let me just encourage you, though, this whole going from church to church and sitting in the background and only consuming and not being known and not getting plugged in is hurting your faith. You are becoming a consumer. You're not actually making a difference with your life in the way that you could. I encourage you to stick around. In fact, today, right after our worship service, we're going to have the Get to Know Eastside class. It'll be 5 to 10 minutes long. You can ask me any question about church membership, spiritual gifts, getting plugged in, what you need to do, and we will help you get plugged into our church. This morning, we saw Lynn Simon get baptized. She heard, I don't know if you heard her testimony all the way through. She did a great job in presenting it, but if you heard it, she had a sister tell her about Jesus for years, and she's like, I'm not ready for this right now. And then two Eastside people at a Bible study invited her to Eastside Community Church. And then she came to Eastside, and all of you were so loving and warm that was a testimony in and of itself. Then she heard the gospel preached here, and in that sermon I said, if you're not a Christian, you need to become a Christian today. And then she found two people she saw on stage, Paul and Karis, and she said, well, I need to do what the pastor said. I need to become a Christian. There were many people involved. A sister, Bible study leaders, the church, a music team. It's not all on you. But by the grace of God, you can have a part in seeing people go from death to life, from hell to heaven, to not knowing Christ, to walking in Christ. And all you have to do is get in the game and get involved. And everything is screaming with me this morning. I want to see hundreds of more people changed by the gospel, just like Lynn was this morning. So we exist to invite all to know Christ, to make him known. I encourage you to go to the class right after the worship service if you're new. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we do thank you that you are a good God, worthy of all praise. Lord God, how can we keep the gospel to ourselves? Lord, someone has to come along the lines and challenge us and wake us up in our Christian life. And I hope that I appropriately did that this morning. And Lord, I just ask that for those who are just on the fences, Lord, who don't want to get plugged in, who go from place to place, Lord, would you put it on their hearts to get plugged in somewhere and use their gifts? Oh, Lord God, would you help us to be an evangelistic culture, inviting people to know Christ? And would you help us to see those who are in Christ grow in Christ? And would you help us to make a greater impact for the kingdom with church planting and missionaries and businesses and nonprofits and doing good in our city for the glory of God? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.